All right, real data obtained from a local martial arts tournament. First time adult competitors were approached during registration and asked to complete an informed consent form, a performance anxiety questionnaire, and to tell how many times during the last 24 hours they had practiced the kata that they were going to be performing. Kata, also known as forms or tuangs, and a whole bunch of other things. It's a series of prescribed strikes and kicks and blocks and things where you're fighting multiple imaginary opponents. And it's a way of seeing how well people can do their shit, okay? So, I've got an anxiety measure here, and I've got the judge's rating. And that's what the data look like when plotted. This is a classic Yerkes-Dodson curve. Yerkes-Dodson was a British anxiety researcher who said, for any given person, for any given task, there's a level of anxiety or stress or emotion that is optimal. Too much less, you're less motivated and perform poorly. Too much more, you perform poorly. So here we've got this definitely quadratic term. If we look at the relationship between anxiety and judge's rating, just looking at correlation, we're not going to get much. Because the regression line looks about here. That's pretty zero. So we made two different versions of a quadratic term. One was to square anxiety, cleverly called anxiety squared. And we made another one where we first centered anxiety and then squared it, anxiety center squared. When we plot anxiety squared against judge's rating, it linearizes a little bit, but because this is really a combination of linear and quadratic, it doesn't do what we want it to do, which is represent the quadratic trend. The centered version, however, gives us a really pretty linear relationship between centered and squared and judge's rating. We can now put this variable in and capture the quadratic relationship between anxiety and judge's rating. The other thing I'd like you to notice is captured in this correlation matrix. There is a huge correlation between... There's a huge correlation between anxiety and anxiety squared. Okay? Because squaring doesn't disrupt the rank order. The person with the highest score has the highest squared score. Person with the lowest score has the lowest squared score. They're still lined up the same. They're just spaced out a little bit differently. So there's going to be a huge collinearity. Notice, if you will, that there's way more collinearity between anxiety and anxiety squared than either of them is correlated with the criterion. Well into extreme collinearity. Way more collinearity than validity. Whereas look what happens when we center and square it. Now we have almost no relationship with anxiety. We have a huge relationship with the criterion. That's going to grab our quantitative relationship. Look at that correlation. You get a correlation of 0.97 with your own data. All right, two versions of the multiple regression. Here's where we put in anxiety and anxiety squared. Damn, that looks nice, doesn't it? And these regression weights look good, although they suggest that it's all anxiety with no anxiety squared. But as we look along, notice these betas. What's the range for beta? -1 to +1. A beta of 5 means something has gone horribly wrong in the math. Anytime you get any of your beta weights, let alone all of them, that's bigger than 1 or smaller than -1, you've got a problem with collinearity. In fact, I had to almost cheat a little to get these both into the model. I had to set the tolerance with like 750,000 zeros so that it would take it into the model. Here's another model where we use anxiety and this should say anxiety centered squared. Sorry. Notice that we get the same R square. The only thing that gets screwed up is the beta weights. So here, now, when I say that the only thing that gets screwed up by the collinearities of beta weights, you might ask, what's the why are these different than those? Because this is a different term than that. It's a different collinearity. And so we see that while this number is small, it's reliably different from zero. Why is this weight so small but still carries so much variance and is so important to the model? It's a squared term. When you square something, you stretch it out and you dramatically increase the standard deviation. So the standard deviation of the centered squared term is way bigger than the standard deviation of the original term. The regression weight is numerically smaller, but more important in the model. How are we doing? The cool thing is, nothing's changed. Every constant and every regression weight still means the same thing it always did. Expected change in y for a one unit increase in that x controlling for the other x's. Nothing changes. Here's another set of data. Same criterion variable, same people, performance, but now we're looking at how many times they practiced the kata in the previous 24 hours. Guess where these folks were on the anxiety scale? Kata takes between a minute and a half and 4 minutes to do, depending upon how good the kata is, how much pace is important in the kata. There are such things as battle kata, which go very, very quickly, because the battle goes relatively quickly. Then there are others that are trying to show off balance or show off combinations or show off something, and some of those can stretch on interminably. But on average, it takes about 2.5 minutes to do a kata. These people have done 50 of those in the last 24 hours. Oh my God. Take a chill pill. Well, you look at this, and there's definitely a linear component to this, right? More is better. There's also the hint of a curve. So maybe our model will do better if it takes that curve into account than if it doesn't. So we're going to play the same game. We're going to build two variables. We're going to build prep squared and prep centered squared. And we're going to see the same thing. Prep and prep squared are highly correlated. Prep and prep squared and prep squared center all have pretty good correlations here. There is one squirrely thing. That number right there is way too big. The centered squared term and the original term are supposed to be uncorrelated with each other, because one is a linear term and the other is everything that isn't linear. These should be uncorrelated with each other. They were last time.
Would that suggest it's better represented?
No, it suggests something's gone to hell.
Maybe we only got a chunk of the curve or something?
Could be. Could be. Not likely. Because all of these are done with sample statistics, not population statistics. So if we only sampled part of it, that wouldn't be our problem. But let's barge ahead first. We see the same basic thing happen. When we put in the centered and squared term, we get a lot of variance accounted for. We get the distinct impression that there is both a linear and a quadratic part to this. The linear part's more important if we look at the absolute size of beta, but the quadratic's not trivial. Basically, beta's bigger than 0.2 usually means start thinking about this variable. When we plug in just the prep and prep squared, once again, those beta weights tell us something has gone to shit. Now, we're nagged a little bit by this funny relationship that we found. There are three red flags that this second example is not what it appears to be, which is a curvilinear relationship between preparation and performance. One, re-examine the original scatter plot. Notice that there are far fewer cases on the right side of the plot than the left. Things are sort of dense over here, sort of sparse over here. So we've got some sort of asymmetrical sampling here. All right, something to look for, a flag. Second, notice the mean is pretty low for a set of variables with a range from 0 to 50. A mean of 15, we have a range from 0 to 50, isn't good, isn't right. The mean ought to be closer to the range unless you've got something going on. And the original term is highly collinear with the centered and squared term. All three of these hint at a skewed predictor. The first two suggest a positive skew. Remember, there were fewer out on the right-hand side than on the left-hand side. Suggests, drawn for you, the hump is on the left, the tail is on the right. Why do we have tails? Skewing. Also, the mean was way closer to the minimum than the maximum, suggesting positive skewing. So what I did was, I did a square root transformation. Oh, by the way, I actually checked the skewness. And yeah, it's positively skewed. When we take a square root transformation and then center and square the square root transformation, so now we have a square root transformation to reduce the skewing and a quadratic version of that variable, we now get a correlation between the term and the quadratic term, then 0, just like it should be if you have a more normal distribution. We also get this plot, and it looks like we've lost our curve, because we got that curve because these folks here were stretched out this way. And in fact, the linear term is hugely correlated. The quadratic term isn't correlated at all. So you've got to be careful that what you've got is really a quadratic relationship and not just a linear relationship with a positively skewed variable. How do you tell the difference? These are the three things you look for. You look at the scatter plot, maybe even do a frequencies of the predictor variable and figure out whether you've got that sort of skewness. You should have already done the skewness measure. See, this should never happen because we should have caught this when we did the univariate data cleaning. You with me? The only reason this happened, the only reason we found this cool quadratic term, is we didn't do our job and do a proper univariate cleaning. If we had, we would have set a skewness of 1.27, too big, let's clean it up. We'd have worked with this square root term all along. We would have gotten this plot, we would have said linear. Also check for where the mean is between the minimum and the maximum, and check for the correlation between the linear and the centered squared quadratic terms. If that number is very big at all, it's because you've got skewing. So one good example and one hopefully slightly frightening example. Here we came out with this fancy model. I mean, look at this pretty nice multiple regression model. You know, damn, we're getting 90% of the variance. We've got two interpolable regression weights. We want to point out that not only is there a linear relationship, but there's a negative quadratic relationship, which means that the positivity of the XY relationship decreases. Point of diminishing returns. Cool story to tell, and that story, especially the cool part, is a statistical artifact of not having cleaned up the data. Today's moral lesson.